This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 28 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1446 الموافق ل 31 من شهر أكتوبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله تعالى we continue from where we stopped last dars. I guess last dars we talk about the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى أتامرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم أنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. And we mentioned that based on this ayah, a Muslim is supposed to give da'wah even if he is not righteous person he himself. And these are two different things, giving da'wah and being righteous. So both are required. A person who does both of them is the best one. But it doesn't mean that only when he does both, then he can, only when he does the other one, then he can engage in advising people to do the other one. I mean, when he is righteous, then he will give the da'wah. If he is not righteous, he cannot give the da'wah. This is a very wrong understanding. Da'wah is the responsibility of every Muslim, whether he is righteous or he is not righteous. The point is, you see that which is not wrong, you are responsible to remind people to do that which is right, to stay away from evil doing. Otherwise, you will be responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you meet him on the day of judgment. So that's a summary of what we did. You advise people, you're supposed also to have the reflection of that advice in your life. Do this, you also do it. Be righteous, you're also righteous. Be good, you're also good. Yet that's the best way to remind people, right? التعليم بالفعل أقوى من التعليم بالقول في بعض الأحيان. And sometimes teaching people through action is much greater and better than teaching them through words, right? You go to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see a lot of application for this. You know. So the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. It's a very important reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is reminding us about the nature of this life in this dunya and that we need support from Allah for us to do the right thing in our journey to Him. So if you need the support from Allah, you should always use the right channel in doing the support. If you don't mind, come closer to me. In doing the support, in seeking for the support, you use the right channel. And the channels given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salah was-sabr. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises you to seek the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek His support through the patience and the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ أَيْسْتَعِينُوا عَلَى طَلَبِ الْآخِرَةِ بِالصَّبْرِ عَلَى الْفَرَائِذِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. You know, you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you seek the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the patience and also a salah. Praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? So the first thing mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as a sabr. You know, no patience, there is no way for you to succeed. All of the people in the past who succeeded, the cause of their success is the patience. Yeah. All of them, with no exception. All of those who succeeded in the past, starting from Nuh alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam actually, all the way down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, and those who follow their track, they're all patient people. That's why this ayah that we kept on mentioning, found in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after narrating to us the story of Nuh alayhi salam, where The whole nation was gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took off everything. Everything. Not just the human beings, but even the animals also were gone. Nothing remains. Everything ceased to exist. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرُ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ. The story of those people was just some part of the story of the ghaib. Because the history of the people of the past is ghaib to us. How do we get the information about that? Through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means sama'a. Yeah? Sama'a. Sama'a means stories being told to us. By who? By Rabbul Alameen. By the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the Jews in Surah Al-Sajdah, he says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. He did not say لَمَّا غَضِبُوا لَمَّا جَزِعُوا. Allah did not say that. He said لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. That's where Ibn Qayyim says, if you remember in the book of Wad-Dawa, he said, بِالصَّبْر وَالْيَقِين تُنَالُ الْمَعَالِي وَالسُّؤْدَت. Patience and yaqeen. These are two conditions for a person to be acquiring that leadership and that status of being on top of others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Jews, جَعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِهِ. Allahu Akbar. He gave them the leadership. They were guided by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which led them to do the right thing in the eyes of Allah. Allah says, when did he give them this? لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. When they were patient. When they were patient, وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ. And they have strong knowledge about the ayat of Allah, and not just knowing, no, they have yaqeen that this is from Allah, and they follow. Then they got that siyada ala nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِ لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ يَمْشُونَ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ أَفَلَا يُبْصِرُونَ. No, he said yes, ma'un. Right? He says, أَفَلَمْ يَهْدِ لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ. Didn't they get any information, any news about those people that we destroyed before them? And the people who are actually worse than them in terms of behavior and attitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got rid of them with that which they deserve. Allah says, why didn't they read the history? Nobody ever told them about those guys that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed in the past. He says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ. You see, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the sama, because the story of the people of the past is part of the ghaib. We don't see. We hear about them. Somebody tells us about them. This is tanasub al-ayat. The beginning of the ayat and the end of the ayat. If you follow Quran, subhanAllah, it's full of these things, you know. But unfortunately, we just read. Sometimes we follow the voice, but even the tajweed we neglected. Yeah, the voice is so nice, but tajweed is a'udhu billah. But Quran, wallahi, is beautiful. When you read it with care, you see all of these things, subhanAllah, you enjoy. The way you see the Quran will change. When he talks about news, the story of the people of the past, he says, afala yasma'un, because that's the only source for you to get information about what happened in the past. But in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, awalam yaro anna nasuqul ma'a ila al-ard al-juruzi fanukhriju bihi zar'an ta'kul minhu an'amuhum wa anfusuhum afala yusirun. Because you see the rain, you see the thing coming up. You see that they change, right? Allah did not say afala yasma'un, because you don't need somebody to tell you that rain, when it comes, this is what happened, because you see it. You get it? Quran is full of these things, subhanAllah. No coincidence in anything that you find in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing, every single letter, wallahi, is properly designed and placed in the best place by Rabbul Alameen. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Because we talk about Nahar, right? أفلا تبصرون قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم النهار سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة من إله غير الله يأتيكم بليل تسكنون فيه No, the first one is أفلا تسمعون because it's night. The second one أفلا تبصرون because it is day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala جعل لكم النهار سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة. Subhanallah, Quran is all about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا. The last part of this ayah, he says what? ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تعقلون. The second one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم. And the last part of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تذكرون. And the last one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيلي ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. Subhanallah, scholars said, look at the tanasuk al-ayat. Because there is no way for the taqwa to take place on a person except if that person is aqil. Majnoon doesn't have taqwa. You have aqil first, so he said with aqil. After aqil, when you remind him, then he will reflect. That's why he says, afala tadhakkarun, the second one. If you reflect, what is the result of the reflection? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that I call, by the way, you know, the main focus is not them. The main focus is the lesson you get from them. But wallah, every single part of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this. Imam Shawkani was, subhanAllah, extracting one amazing lesson from Surah Al-An'am. We memorize Quran for long, you know, but never see this, you know. We read, we understand what it means, but we never see this. He said, there is no ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is more comprehensive to tell us that Quran is for everyone until the day of judgment than this word. It's just two words actually in Surah Al-An'am. What are these words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ. These two words, مَنْ بَلَغْ. مَنْ بَلَغْ is too comprehensive. That includes every human being and jinn that will exist until the last day. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ بَلَغَ أَيْ مَنْ بَلَغَهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Whoever will receive Quran in the future. Until when? Until no end. So that's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Shatibi said, he says, وَخَيْرُ جَلِيسٍ لَا يُمَلُّ حَدِيثُهُ وَتَرْدَادُهُ يَزْدَادُ فِيهِ تَجَمُّلَهُ. He says, Quran is خَيْرُ جَلِيسٍ. The best jalis. Who is jalis? A partner that sits with you to give you uns. Quran is khayru jalis. La yumallu hadithuhu. You never get bored of the hadith. Because jalis, somebody who sits with you to talk to you, right? Like nadudama of the sultan. People who go to the king just to talk to the king to make him happy, tell him stories and all of these things. Yeah, we also have friends that we sit with them to discuss matters. And sometimes talk random talk, you know. Halal, haram sometimes we do what. But this is jalis, a partner that you sit with, who talks to you. Imam Shatibi says, Quran is the best jalis. La yumallu hadithu. Sometimes Mazin might sit with me, he talk to me, I'm saying inside me, I wish he would keep quiet. Sometimes your wife will, inshallah, they are not here. Your wife will talk to you, you might be saying, well, I wish there is some circumstances will come. She would get busy with something else, you know, because I reached that time, I'm just pretending, you know. I don't want to get scolded. But sometimes you reach a time where you just want them to stop, you know, and focus on something else. Why? Because the hadith started going to unnecessary things. But by the way, if there is a case like this, if your wife talk unnecessarily, what would you do? Tell her, ya Rabia, keep quiet. Then she should have a stick at home. Yeah, no, it's not like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't like that. Yeah, to you is not important. To her is important. Why don't you listen? You don't find it interesting. Just listen. And it's good actually. I'm just addressing those people who have family. It's good also to make comment. Although you see it unnecessarily, but just make comment. Yeah, that's good. Rather than you also, you bring stories which she doesn't find them interesting. Why is he so much, you know, seeing them, you know, something, you know. And you also want, when you share, to do what? To listen. Yeah. But anyway, this is another topic. So Quran is the khayru jalis, the best jalis. Yeah, but you get my indirect message, right? When I said when you're sitting with your partner, especially the spouse, no, you shouldn't let your family know that their statement is boring. Whoever they are, the male or the female, shouldn't let them know that their statement is boring. Yeah. We do that a lot with the kids. And this is wrong. Yeah. When your children come with their stories, which are 100% rubbish, you will laugh. Rubbish. You as a father, tell them, I thought you were smart. I always think that you are smart. But after this, la hawla quwwata illa billah. So what is the best way to make it? Just listen to what you think is rubbish. Yeah, you Allah. One day, they will share with you all of their concerns, and then you will be able to tackle those matters properly. May Allah grant us good. So please understand this fact correctly. Quran is the khayru jalis, the best jalis you have. Yeah, the best jalis. لا يملّ حديثه وترداده يزداد فيه تجملا. And repeating the Quran makes Quran more beautiful. So Allah says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا. فَصْبِرْ. Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the people of Nuh are destroyed, he told him the story. He said, this is part of the stories of the unseen. It's a history that passed. You never know this. Neither you nor any of your your community members. Nobody knows it. Allah says, we give you the best and the only true story concerning those matters. أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرْ. Allah told him, اسْبِرْ, be patient. Yeah, because why did he tell the Prophet ﷺ some of those stories? Because he's also persecuted by the Meccans. You get it? So Allah wants him to know that he wasn't alone. This is actually very natural. And up to date, actually, the message is the same. Allah, you are inviting people to the truth, and they hate you, they're accusing you, they're saying so many stories about you. The best method to address those matters is to be patient. Not to reply a single word. Mind your business. Just keep doing. People are not dumb. They understand things. If you don't reply, that's more than enough, inshallah, to convince many others who used to think that you're a troublemaker to understand that you're not. They will come and study what you're talking about, and many of them are going to be guided. They will come and be on your side. All of those statements that people used to say against you, they will disappear. But trust me, the moment you start refuting, replying, paying attention, then they will never stop. More and more will come. Sometimes you might not be able to give a correct response. Your people who are next to you also, they will start having doubt in what you're doing. And the best method is silence. Make sure you're doing the correct thing. Make sure you don't harm anyone. Make sure you don't provoke anyone. And make sure you use the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, just say to yourself, لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Only that which Allah SWT has written will happen. Yeah. Keep on moving, inshallah. Success will be on your side. Allah said to the Prophet, فَاصْبِرْ, be patient. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Because al-aqibah, what is aqibah? Good end. Is always on the side of the good ones. You know, there is no way for you to fail if you're with Allah. No way. But it needs what? Sabr. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us to be patient in many places. Especially when you are hurt. So what is patience? Patience is to control yourself from having negative reaction. Habsu nafs ala tarki al makari. You control your nafs from having negative reactions. Yeah, where you can have the negative reaction with you. Controlling yourself from taking negative decisions. That's sabr. That's why the opposite of sabr is ghadab. Being impatient, which ghadab is one of them. What is ghadab? The jamrah is like a piece of fire that shaitan is putting in the heart of the believer. Although the hadith that says this is weak, narration, but if you look at the thing that is happening to the person who is angry, if this person has a fair skin, if he is angry, how does the face turn? Red, you know. He become a really monster, you know. What exactly is going on, you know? So that shows that yes, there is an asal for that statement. There's something in the heart which reflected on the face. So it's ugly. In the way the face is becoming ugly, this way also the ghadab also is ugly. So just a lama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you so that you will not have that one. You want your face to look good. Don't be angry. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحدهم قال أوصني يا رسول الله advise me to do something good. قال لا تغضب, don't be angry. فردد مرارا, he kept on repeating يا رسول الله أوصني. قال لا تغضب, أوصني لا تغضب لا تغضب. Just the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him don't be angry. Yeah. Anger is a source of many evil, many evil. That's why try to control yourself. You know, between you and the Muslims, don't let anger get into comes from the heart. You might be physically angry, but it shouldn't reach the heart. Yeah. If the thing reached the heart, you can never cooperate with that person in anything. When it reached the heart, he tells his wife, get out of my house. Leave the place. I don't want to see you anymore. You are divorced 100 times. He has to go to the scholars to tell him whether he is committing bid'ah or not. But when it doesn't reach the heart, he might shout. He might do everything. But at the same time, he knows that he's responsible in the house. He will go and buy for her what she needs. Buy for the house what they need. Provide them with everything. But just he doesn't want to talk to the people. But the heart is not involved. That's why he is able to do his job. If the wife herself, who just made him angry that he is thinking, he did not divorce yet, but the shaitan kept on telling him divorce, 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 50 times. You get it? If she is to get into trouble, he will cool down and go and support her, bring her back to her consciousness, and then go back to his angry mood. You get it? I'll give you one good example, Zainab. When she has opportunity to talk about Aisha radiallahu anha, did she do that? No. She did not. But if you are to see the battles between her and Aisha radiallahu anha before, you will say, definitely Zainab is going to fail. But subhanAllah, to show you that anger, you know, between her and Aisha is just physically, you know, hating each other, but it doesn't reach their hearts. That's why when seriousness comes, the true picture of Zainab appears. That she's really next to Aisha and standing behind her, willing to do everything to support her, regardless of the past. You know. You get it? The same goes to the rest of the believers. I focus on the family because this is one I most see this on. But the same goes to the believer. If I have issue with Mazin, which inshallah would never happen, but if I have issue with Mazin, if the issue goes into the heart, trust me, I will not come to this place if he's here. Seriously, if I see him here, I will never come. If he comes, I will tell you guys, I'm sorry. I can't be in a place where this man is. But if I don't take it to the heart, we'll be together. When he meets me, I smile. Although it's not that good smile, but I do. I shake his hand. And also I present him with good things. You know, I might not like to do them that much, but I still do. And I seek his cooperation and support to make a success in whatever is being assigned to us. And I'm willing to work with him. I don't mind. But I see him as somebody that I have issue with him, but it doesn't reach my heart. That's the difference. Because it's very dangerous when the hatred reaches the heart. It's very dangerous to address it. Very dangerous. You know. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can be angry and say something to the highest, you might say, oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never tolerate anything. But then just after a few seconds, he will see another person to the same person. A man knock on his door, assalamu alaikum, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that this is so and so person approaching him. He said, بِئْسَ أَخُ الْأَشِيرَةِ. He talked about him in this way. But then the man came into the Prophet ﷺ gave him permission to get inside. He get inside the room, then أَلَانَ لَهُ الْكَلَامِ. He was very gentle and soft with him, very kind. Aisha radiallahu anha was shocked. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? He just said what he said, and now you are talking to him in this way? You know what he says? He says, Ya Aisha, إِنَّ شَرَّ النَّاسِ مَنْزِلَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ تَرَكَهُ النَّاسُ مَخَافَةَ فُحْشِهِ. He said, the worst people in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a person who is neglected by the people because of his evil manners. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't want him to get in trouble with Rabbul Alameen. Allah lahu al-kalam. That means the heart is not affected. You get it? It's just something that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, which is on the tongue. It's a very good behavior that I think we really need to train ourselves. Because sometimes when we hate, a'udhu billah. I criticize him, but what am I criticizing? His behavior, his statement, his opinions. Yeah, that was in the past. Nowadays, I criticize the way he looks. Even like that's what we do. We criticize even the physical appearance of a person, which is wrong. Yeah, you have issue with his statement, you have issue with his opinion, talk about those ones. That's good. Yeah, that will benefit him and benefit the community. But the way he is created, who created him in that way? Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen make him. So if you are criticizing the way he looks, that's a message to who? I don't want to say it, but that's a message to who? To the one who put him in that way. So, لا تغضبوا كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا تغضب, I will say to you the same thing. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. Try your best and control your emotions and your mood. Yeah. You get it? The reward is so big, but don't be angry. It helps you to always be fresh and young. You know that in many instances we age before our due time? Seriously, you become an old man before your time. Yeah, because of anger and stress. But if you take the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relax, you remain young. People will see you, you know, at the age of 65, but they still think that you are still in your 30s. You will not trust me, you know, because you relax. And it doesn't reflect, it reflects on your physical appearance also. Do you want a gift? Abdullah doesn't want it. Do you want a gift? Yes, I will give you a gift from Imam Shafi, not from me. You think I'm going to give you some dollars? Never. I'm just kidding. Shaykhuna Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, there was time in the class, he was given an example. He says, مثلاً لو أن الشيخ سليمان الرحيلي أعطى واحدا منكم 800 ريال لا سمح الله. You don't understand Arabic, that's why you don't laugh. Saying that he just imagining the time when he gave one of us 800 riyal, he said, La qaddar Allah. May Allah not bring this day to happen. Anyway, Imam Shafi said, he says, Lamma afawtu wa lam ahqid ala ahadin arahtu nafsiya min hammil adawati. Please write this down and memorize it and then apply it. Yeah, that's the only reward you can give me is to apply it. He said, Lamma afawtu. وَلَمْ أَحْقِدْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ أَرَحْتُ نَفْسِيَ مِنْ هَمِّ الْعَدَاوَاتِ لَمَّا عَفَوْتُ وَلَمْ أَحْقِدْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ أَرَحْتُ نَفْسِيَ مِنْ هَمِّ الْعَدَاوَاتِ وَلَمْ أَحْقِدْ حِقْدْ. You know, he said, when I forgive everyone, وَلَمْ أَحْقِدْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ, I don't hate anyone. The Muslims, my heart is always free. At ease. I don't go back home with the thinking of somebody, how to take revenge. This person hurt me, I'm planning against him also on how to revenge. He says, I don't do that. لَمَّا عَفَوْتُ, when I forgive everyone, وَلَمْ أَحْقِدْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ, and I don't observe hasad or hiqid on anyone, he said, أَرَحْتُ نَفْسِيَ مِنْ هَمِّ الْعَدَاوَاتِ. He says, only then I manage to give myself relief from the worry of enmity. because أرحت نفسي من همي على عداواتي. You know, because if you have this humul adawa, yeah, Mazin hurt me, I'm planning against him, I'm planning against Yusuf, I'm planning against Hazik, I'm planning against Waqas and everyone. There is no person who hurt me except that I'm planning against that person. Trust me, the white hair in you will come before the age. Seriously, it will come before the time. Yeah. And your body will be exhausted. Yeah. And you will never relax at home. That's why it is my personal advice to all of us. Yeah. Don't you ever go to your house or your room with somebody in your heart, except your family. And going with them in the heart means loving your family. Get inside the house with good mood. All of the tragedies that you encounter with others, leave it out of the house. Home is a place of comfort and relief. Should be like that. Although it is not in most of our houses, but it should be a place of comfort, which is the only place where the husband goes and relax. The only place where the wife exists and relax. It's supposed to be like a Jannah. But nowadays, it is not, unfortunately. So, وَلَمَّا عَفَوْتُ وَلَمَّا أَحْقِنَ عَلَى أَحَدٍ أَرَحْتُ نَفْسِيَ مِنْ هَمِّ الْعَدَوَةِ. And trust me, you know, throughout my life, when I learned this and I observed it, and this is actually not from Imam Shafi, it is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took revenge against anyone throughout his life. Never. Never. Yeah. If you see him taking revenge, it was the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being violated, but not for him. Get it? Forgive. Yeah. Don't take action. Get it? Yeah, you're going to be hurt by many people. Yeah? Just close your eyes and forgive. Wherever forgiveness is possible, wallahi, I advise you to forgive. Somebody by mistake hit your car. Usually, no forgiveness. I have to fight for this. And sometimes if you go, you see, just maybe a little scratch. You know, it's not that much. But they cause a long traffic jam. People have to spend 30 minutes, if not 1 hour or more, just because somebody was scratched. The time you waste talking about this 50 ringgit, 60 ringgit, you know, that we get, well, if you put in another investment, you get much more better than this, you know. And how much people are losing? A lot. Yeah. I found it, you know, to be the attitude of those people who live for the dunya. You Allah, you don't need. Just be careful when you drive. Just be very careful, extraordinarily careful when you drive. When by accident somebody hits you by accident, and I'm not talking about the one who comes intentionally and smacks you because you are patient, and then you say, let him go. No, you shouldn't let him go. Because this one, if you let him go, you're harming the community. And I'm talking about those ones that you know that, yes, yeah, 90% of my thought, that this person is hurting me by accident. Just forgive. So I don't think you need examples, but I have live examples that I can give you, which result in good, you know, being generated by those who are patient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so we are done, no anger, right? So try your best, no more angry mood, you know? Yeah. If you're angry, don't let it go to the heart. People will hurt you, you will be angry, sometimes you can't control it. When it comes, don't react. Against, cool down, leave the place, keep quiet, make wudu, lie down, sleep. You know, if you're at home, you realize that you're going to go really in the wrong way, leave the house, come back later. You know, come back later. With your friends, you realize that this person is going beyond the limits, you just leave the place. Leave the place. When you relax and you calm down, send him a message. Nice message. If you are afraid of you going against the adab, share the message with your wife. If you have one. You married? Okay, that means I'm not intending you. مازن ومن تبعهم. If you don't have one, get a very close friend, you know, to you. That really I need your advice. So and so and so person really hurt me, and I really don't want to hate him, and I don't want to reply back. I don't want to take revenge. I'm planning to write a message to him. This person, if he's good, he will ask you, what are you planning to say? Tell him, this is the message I wrote. Please read it and see if I write something wrong. Yeah, but this person should be somebody that you really trust and somebody who is very good and calm and patient person. Yeah, and this is very important, because if I am to go, who is harsh here amongst you?
Hamad.
Hamad, okay. If oh, why Hamad, you know? Why do you choose him to be a leader if he is harsh? It just came, no choice. Okay, Abdullah, answer the question. They have no choice, okay. سامعك الله حماد.
ليس شديدا.
ليس شديدا, right? So who do you choose to be شديد? يعني he's like عمر رضي الله عنه. He seems to be a very harsh person, but he is not harsh, right?
Mashallah.
Now you know your friend, and you know your enemies. If Yusuf is not just making you happy, if he meet them, he's going to say, thank you very much, you know. But who do you choose a harsh person here? No one. Well, this one is Latif. Okay, I will use you as my example. Yeah. Hamad is the harshest person here, right? Mazin hurts me. If I go and tell Hamad, wallahi, I got hurt by Mazin. And I don't want to hate him. What would you advise me to do? What is he going to say? You know, Mazin, he has been hurting me, and I'm not right now planning against. So take any action that you believe is okay. Right? Just do. Don't worry about the consequences. Just. If I go to Yusuf will read and say, no. Ibrahim, I don't think it's the time for you to reply now. Let's talk about this after 2-3 days. After 2-3 days, when I meet him, or he meets me, how about that issue? I'm going to smile. I say, well, I know. I think it's okay, because I met Mazin actually. We came back from a restaurant. We have eaten. I think that page is closed. But Hamad is there, just looking for the time. You know? Anyway, so I'm very serious when I say you have to think about the person that you share these type of things with. Yeah, because sometimes there are some people who will increase the pain rather than saying something to you that will cool you down. There are some people who will misguide you. There are some people who put you in the wrong way, actually, rather than guiding you to the proper reaction and decision. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good. What I just want you to train yourself on is patience. Okay? Clean your heart, don't be having some issues with the believers. Any Muslim on earth, the heart should be clean. You should have issues with their behavior, but not issues with them, you know, as a person. Because as long as he's Muslim, he deserves your patience, your tolerance, you know, good behavior. You get it? But you should have issues with his behavior if it is wrong, not with him in person. Get it? So please train yourself like this, because I have seen that most of us are not like that. Yeah, train yourself. Allah grant us good. So, قال الله عز وجل واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Patience, the scholars divided patience into three types, right? Patience when it comes to doing righteous deed, الصبر على الطاعات, الصبر عن المعاصي. Patience when it comes to staying away from the wrongdoing. And the last one is patience when the calamity strikes. Yeah? These are the three types of patience that we have. You get it? Sabr when it comes to righteous deed. Because righteous deed are heavy. How many people are not praying in UI?
Not praying.
At all. Let's say at all, but Jumu'ah, alhamdulillah. Or to be more accurate, how many people are not coming to the masajid to pray?
80-90%.
How many people are not fasting in Ramadan?
Not more than 20. I think overwhelmingly.
Inshallah. I love your optimism, you know.
Really, Sheikh?
I love your optimism.
No, regarding the number, I
don't know the number, but I love your optimism to say that only 20 is not doing. I love that one.
But I agree with you.
Sheikh, yeah. No, I love it. I said I love it, you know. I like being optimistic.
Sheikh, I don't think they even exist here in this university. People have gone fast.
Yeah. In the bubble.
I don't think they exist.
Okay, I love his more than yours.
Because Sheikh, no.
I love his more than.
Since you're asking about the proper fasting, right?
Fasting itself in Ramadan.
There are people who fast, I know.
There are people who don't fast.
But they also smoke.
Yeah, this one
now. I'm not even talking about that one. The person who don't want to fast, but he doesn't come out and eat in front of people.
Chef, but like even the worst who made that fast, yeah, they ask for the meal for Hatta Asam. So how can I?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I love your optimism, and I hope inshallah it's like that. But what we got is different. No. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid the ummah. What we got is different. Yeah, in both situations. Not praying and not fasting. Yeah. I met a person who told me he started fasting after he has two children. Yeah. And his statement, you know, he said only when I have, he said, this is my second year that I start fasting. And he has two kids. He said, I just told myself, Fulan, it is not appropriate for you to let your kids know that you're not fasting. He said, that was the thing that helped me to fast. But then he told me, to be honest with you, there are so many people who are not fasting. He said, I'm one of them. Talking based on knowledge, not based on somebody told him, no. So I love, inshallah, the way you see things, inshallah, inshallah. But don't stop sending some pamphlet that talks about importance of fasting, thinking that everyone is Abu Bakr and Umar, you know. Yeah, because fasting, when do we eat? When we are fasting and we don't want people to see us. In our time when we are young, we always went our parent to send us to the farm to go and bring things to them in Ramadan. There is nobody except us and snakes and animals. We enjoy our life. We come back home like this. We tell people that, oh, today's fasting is tough. Yeah, I still remember that when we were young. And in those days when the tap water is clean, you drink, you don't buy bottled water. Unless if big events, you know, people want to show. But the tap water is very clean. What do we do? We always use the bathroom, every time. Just take your water in the thing and go there and mashallah, enjoy your life. Yeah, the sisters at home, I hope everything is okay. Yeah, you use the bathroom a lot, no problem. Yes, everything is fine. Yeah. So to them, we are fasting. And we never ate in front of them. Yeah. So alhamdulillah, in those days, fasting is not even wajib, but upon us, but this is what people are doing. Do we have big people who are not doing the fast? Yes, we do. Yeah. So I want to be optimistic like Yusuf. Yeah. Better than Adam. Adam says 20%, but Yusuf says nobody. Alhamdulillah. But at the same time, I would tell him, Yusuf, don't stop sending reminders to people to fast. Right? And reminders to people not to smoke when they're fasting. Two of them. But that one is not fasting and this one also is not fasting. You get it? Ah, this one fasted, started and then destroyed. And the other one also is not doing. So both of them are not fasting. But alhamdulillah, we have a big hope, which I think other matters are there. So what I'm saying is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا لَلْخَاشِينَ. Practicing the righteous deed is heavy. That's why you need patience. Not everyone is patient to maintain the righteousness. You Allah, including those that I have mentioned. Yeah. Not everyone is patient to maintain what he believes to be correct. Yeah, from both sides, brothers and the sisters. How many sisters took off their correct hijab? A lot. And the people we know who used to dress properly and they change. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا الْخَاشِئِينَ. That's why you need patience on doing the righteous deed. Yeah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't support you, you will not be able to maintain it. So Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. So this is the first category of patience. The second one is الصَّبْرُ عَنْ الْمَعَاصِي. Staying away from the wrongdoing. How many people are committing sin? I want Adam's statistical sins.
Hmm.
All. Thank you very much, Shana. Yusuf? Nobody? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to have Husn al-Dhan here. Okay. He says, accept the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is not the time to discuss. Wait. I don't want to discuss this matter here. I want to survive and I want to live. Yeah. Go to the books and read. Yeah. Major sins, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been protected from them 100%. No way for them to have major sin. Doing something which is shirk, number one, 100% they will never do. Committing any of the major sin, 100% they would never do. But when it comes to the small matters, can they do it? Or is it impossible in the case? I leave it to Mufti Yusuf to give us fatwa here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَعْفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ لَوْ لَا كِتَابٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقَ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he abasa wa tawalla anja'ahu al-ahma. All of these things shows that these type of mistakes, it is possible for a Prophet to do. Yunus alayhi salam left his people without permission. فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقَدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأْخَرَ. So that's why we do the sabr wa taqseeb. We say there is no way for a Prophet of Allah SWT to commit shirk, no way for him to do a major sin. But when it comes to those mistakes, small, minor things, if you go to the nusus, you will see what the scholars are seeing. Does that affect them? No, it doesn't. You get it? That's why Allah SWT told the Prophet SAW, whatever you did in the past, and those that you might be doing in the future, forgive him. Yeah. He treats the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very unique way. He says, "Afa Allahu ank." He started with the forgiveness first, and then ask him, "Lima adintana?" In a different method, right? We have, right? I was scolding him first, scold him, and then I ask him to reply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Afa Allahu ank." Allah forgive. There is no accountability. However, why did you let them? So, yani, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not worry about being accounted, you know, for what he did, because Allah says he closed that page. لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَتَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Is that clear? So, when he says all of us commit sin, that's true. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلُّ ابْنَ آدَمَ خَطَّأ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ أَتَوَّبُونَ. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does istighfar in a day 70 to 100 times. Is that clear? So to be patient when it comes to the ma'asi is really not easy. True? You know. Nowadays, for the people who are looking for business, how many haram business you have? Most of the business that are coming to you, most of the proposals that are reaching you, what type of proposals are they? Halal or haram? Haram. Most of them haram. But do we have halal business? Yes. But they don't look good. They're not fancy. You know, just like the who has perfume in his hand. No, maybe mine is closer than yours. Wait. I have a Singaporean one. Okay, just kalas. I know that one. Yours is fancy. I have also. Yours is just the modern one. I think somebody also gave me that one. Okay, but I have this. You know, I wish I know I'm going to talk about this. Then I will ask somebody to bring those fancy design perfume. If you put this here, and you put the other one, which is well packaged. Even the bottle itself, mashallah, you can use it to decorate some part of your house. If I ask you to choose, which one you go for? The fancy one. But that one has alcohol in it, and this one is zero alcohol. But it doesn't look nice. You get it? Yeah, halal is this one is haram, but this one looks so fancy, pretty. This one, nothing. Except the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take it because Allah says don't go for the other one. How do you convince yourself to choose this one? You have to do a lot. Because even if you're going to sell them, this one will make more money than this. Yeah. But this is how it is. And also, I'm using this example actually, intentionally. Why can't the Muslim also make the halal one in this way? Do you get what I'm saying, right? Why can't the Muslim, why can't we make the halal one also look fancy? Why? Isn't it business, right? We're looking for customers, right? Why can't we improve it and make it more accurate? Yeah, we always portray ourselves as a poor community. We don't have much. That's why if you go to those banks that are affiliating themselves to Islam and you compare them with other banks, which one is more robust in terms of security and providing services, easy services to others? The non-Muslims one. You feel like your money is being secured and whenever you go to them, you get quick response. Wallah, you pick up a phone, you have a problem, you call one of those non-Muslim banks, after 1, 2, 3 minutes, somebody will pick up on it. You call our people, you give up. Your credit finish, reload another one. Finish, reload another one. Finish. You go to the website in comparison to that one, subhanAllah, no comparison. You go to the apps, the one that is designed by this is way better than the one that is designed by our own people. My question is, as a bank, you don't have money to design your website to look like others? Bank, right? You don't have money to do these things. But I just take it, that this is the nature of the Muslimin. Right? We always want to show that we are down, And Islam is not like that. Go back and see. Wallah, we built up the community. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when Kafira visited him, who was that Kafira? Bilqis. When she visited Sulaiman, and Al-Hudhud says she has, wa utiyat min, in kulli shay, Allah has given her from everything. The scholars said, whatever a kingdom needs to be called a real kingdom that is based on heavy and strong civilization, that woman has. It's like something that Hudhud was really amazed of what she has. And she has this al-arsh al-azim. Walaha arshun azim. He talked about this to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman said, who can bring the arsh to us? After sending message, because what concerns him is Islam. Because Al-Hudhud said in his report that this woman is kafira and she's leading them in kufr. So Sulaiman said, who can go and bring the arsh, the throne of this woman to us? Ifrit min al-jinn. Yusuf, I think we have some research on Ifrit. Yeah. So many wajibat on him. Only a few are done. No problem. You can. I just want to provoke you. So, Ifrit says, I can do it, but I need more time. He said, I need more time. Sulaiman knows that this woman is on the way to reach, and she's about to reach. He said, I want it now. قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا أَعْتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ فَلَمَّا رَاهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّهِ. Allah. He says, just close your eyes and open. Within the blink of an eye, the bed is there. No magic. No anything which is strange, you know, to us. He uses knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. What kind of knowledge is he using, you know? We never reach that knowledge. He uses the knowledge Allah said, and he brought the bed to her, the throne to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Sulaiman said to the people, after thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he related back to Allah. Yeah. That's why that civilization lasted up to the moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to take it off. But he told them, this doesn't look updated. He told them to upgrade the bed for her. Make it look some. I wanted to refer back to the statement of Al-Hudhud that she is this and that. When the bed comes to Sulaiman, this is obsolete technology, you know, technology that already gone. Said, make it better. So they fix it. They modified. When she came, Sulaiman asked her, Ahakada arshik? Does your arsh, your throne look like this? She looked at it properly. She said, Ka'annahu hu. She doesn't say this is mine. She said, it looks like mine. You know? Yeah, because she saw those modifications. So she cannot say this is mine because the house doesn't look like this. But Ka'annahu hu. Sulaiman said, Wa utina al-ilma min qabliha. You remember when she was going to enter his palace? She thought she's going to be walking on the water. Because see how much those tiles deceive her. She believes that she's going to be walking in the river. Yeah. And Sulaiman said, Wa kunna muslimin. Yeah. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the knowledge before her. Wa kunna muslimin. And we are muslimin. Meaning because we are muslimin. So my question is, Sulaiman make that, civilization which is the best to our knowledge on earth at that time. And they were Muslimin. Islam doesn't deprive them from being like that. You know, civilization is taken from us. One of the kuffar is still alive. He said that when the first library exists in Baghdad, you know, Baghdad, capital city of the Muslimin, right? He said at that time, the Europeans are still looking for caves to live in. He was a kafir. Up to date, to my knowledge, that person is a kafir. I don't know whether he converted to Islam, but he was saying this when he was a kafir. He said civilization exists in the Muslim countries before the Europeans knows about what civilization is all about. Because when you see a library, what does that mean? Civilization. That means the people are well developed, well civilized. He says at that time, those guys are still living in the caves. But you compare what they have and what we have, the difference is, it's clear. What happened to ours? Gone. And why is it gone? Because we don't follow Islam correctly. And also, by the way, do they have civilization?
No.
They don't. They have what is called development and madaniya, we call it in Arabic. Tamaddun. But most of us, Adam, trust me, most of us think that civilization exists in the West. That means they should redefine or readdress the matter of definition in their brains. Because civilization is in the person himself. You find it somewhere else, but not in those places. They have the madaniya, which we're supposed to have both of them, madaniya and also civilization. So please, you should take over, you know. You are having young brain in thinking, you know, of how to liberate the Ummah of Islam. I really advise you, be very accurate in whatever you produce. No need to compete with anyone, but make it in the best. And trust me, I'm not exaggerating, this is my personal belief. We do have better than what they have. Wallahi, we do have better than what they have. The only thing is that we don't promote ours. And we don't value ours. Just because he's a white person coming from the US, UK, whatever country, I'm willing to favor him over my people who are having more expertise than him. I don't care about this. If I'm in the government, لا قدر الله, and I employ Mazin, being coming from Canada, Hamad coming from Kashmir. That's Kashmir. Both of them graduated from the same university, the same qualification, the same certificate. Trust me. Mazim, I pay him 100,000 every month. Hamad, I pay him 10,000 every month. Just because of the nationality. And maybe Hamad is more productive than Mazim. But just nationality makes me differentiate between them. That's why they improve and they're well developed and we are not. Because our people, since they understand they will be respected when they go to that place, many of our people run away to those places, getting better treatment than what we have. And remember, usually people who are going out of their country to another country, they are the best in that country. Yeah, they're the professionals, people with skills, people with akal. They're just not happy with what is going on in their country, then they move to another country. That's why other people will accommodate them. They will be well developed, where their own home country is still down. Yeah. These are abjadiyat, they call them in Arabic, that we need to know. So sabr al ma'asi, be patient. Yeah? And do everything possible to put a lot of precautions between you and the ma'asi. Don't open the door thinking that you have iman. No. Wallahi, you might be deceived and dragged by the shaitan in a way you will never be able to come back. Don't open the door, right? We have a lot of doors we are opening against ourselves and we get into the ma'asi. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, la taqrabu, right? Sometimes he doesn't say la taf'alu, but he says la taqrabu. Tilka hududullahi fala taqrabuha. These are the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then come near them. Because when you come closer, you're going to get in. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. So inshallah, in the next dars, I will emphasize on this patience, especially the last one, as-sabr ala al-masa'ib. As-sabr ala al-masa'ib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us patience, you know, in all of its forms, and make us a better Muslims wherever we are. Okay, jazakumullah khairan. Adam, what do we have? No problem. Even if they're long, we start with Ahlul Bayt.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhana. Shaykh, if you would allow it, two questions.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm already familiar with Yusuf's two questions, so you can just ask.
Okay, Shaykh, number one, Shaykh, there's a hadith in Ibn Majah. And I'm not sure if other ulama has narrated it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rabi says, "Fatalawana wajhu Rasulillah sallallahu." I mean, his face turned into a different color because he was angry. So, is it
what did you read the whole thing?
No.
What is that hadith says before the talawun?
Someone went against his hukum, like he judged, and then the person says.
That's what I want you to mention before the talawun.
No.
You remember in our statement we said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not take revenge except if the laws of Allah SWT has been violated? Mm. Yeah, this is one of them.
No.
Whenever this happens, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually became very angry.
No.
Yeah. Not only this, when he gives khutbah, sometimes his face becomes red. Yeah. You will think that he is Mundhiru Jaish. Yaqul sabbahkum wa masakum. You know, but something being done against him, Rasulullah doesn't take revenge. The most patient person was Rasulullah. But if you touch the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is when you see a different person.
Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh. Second question, Shaykh. When Hudhud came to Sulaiman, it said, وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. Then later on, Sulaiman said, La ilaha illa huwa rabbul arsh al-azim. Did he intend to reply to Hudhud?
La ilaha illa
huwa rabbul.
Oh, you mean that Sulaiman intended?
Later on.
How do I know his intention, Yusuf?
Because he used al-arsh al-azim, as in he wanted to reply to Hudhud.
So this is a message to the Hudhud and to everyone.
Can you say
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rabbu kulli shay' wa rabbul arsh al-azim. The greatest arsh is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, no matter how much big it is, it is not great when you compare it with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen.
Jazakum Allah khair.
Jazakum Allah.
We have four questions.
Let's answer them quickly, inshallah.
Okay, Sheikh. Okay, Sheikh, the first question is by Sister Juhaida. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I'm aware that multi-level marketing business is haram, but what if someone joins the membership in that company to buy the products so that she can get the member price? So the rest of the question is that my relative paid a membership fee to join a local MLM company.
It shouldn't. Yeah, because it's a support for the business. It's one of the objectives of that business is to sell the product itself and also to gain money through that membership fees people are paying and also through inviting people to buy the product. That's how they do, they market the business actually. They don't mind sharing with some. Most of the people lost. You have to reach a certain level of ranking for you to start generating anything from them. So I will advise her not to. Look for another product and buy.
Okay, sure. She's explaining the situation. My relative paid a membership fee to join a local MLM company selling health products and supplements to support her recovery. She was recommended by another relative who is actually an ambassador of the company doing business with it. She joined and became a member because she wanted to get the member price for the supplements. That's it, right?
I think our answer's
correct. Right?
Correct.
Okay, Sheikh, we go to the next question. Question by Umar Ayan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsan Allahu ilayka fi dunya wal akhirah. If something valuable, large amount of foreign cash, was found in the dustbin, do the same rules of finding something valuable on the street, that is, have to advertise it for a year?
Yes. Because right? Maybe by mistake they park it and put it in the garbage.
Question by Brother Khidr. If three friends agreed to have a contract to buy something expensive, but two friends defaulted, but the burden is on one person, is the debt on him alone?
They already agreed.
Yeah.
And they bought the item based on their agreement.
Yes.
And then they decline afterwards. They have no right to decline.
Okay.
They don't have right to decline. Me and Mazin and Hamad, we agreed to buy something. And then we went and you bought it, and then I declined, Mazin declined. And then we want Hamad to take responsibility. No, cannot. I cannot decline before, after the buying of the item. But before he buys, we can decline. And he's not allowed to buy. Because agency contract is not binding contract. You can revoke it at any moment. But once the person engaged in doing that which you ask him to do, you cannot hold him responsible. You are responsible. Yeah. Up to the moment you ask him to stop, anything that happens, you are responsible. Yes, Hamad.
What if it is something subscription-based?
Huh?
What if it is something subscription-based?
All of them agree, right, to subscribe, right?
Yes,
mm-hmm. And they says, all of them agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they agree, all of them, to do the subscription, mm-hmm. and then some people wanted to decline, one of them cannot be the one who is responsible. They have to share the responsibility, all of them. Yeah. Why would they harm him? And they agree at the first place.
The contract might not be forever.
Then they wait until the first contract is over. Yeah, the first one is gone. Then they tell him, we're not willing to renew. If he went and uses his money without informing them, he is responsible, not them. It's even that one also.
Yeah. They just, let's say they left off country. They left from the country.
So they?
They left from the country. So
yeah, they should be, they're still responsible. Yeah. Because I cannot just tell you, go ahead. And then after you do, and then I tell you, Abdullah, I've already changed my mind. I'm responsible. I have to pay you any damage that happens based on that word, even if it is not written. Writing, we just write it for evidence in case you take me to the court. You get it? The judge will ask you, is there any written agreement between me and you? That's when I deny. Then the written agreement can save you. Otherwise, Islamically, it's enough, the verbal communication between us. I gave you my word, I'm supposed to keep my word. You know? Islam is against harming partners in whatsoever. That's why if I agree with Mazin and Hamad, you know, to do a business. But then later on I went to the client. But we started the business. I want to withdraw my partnership. But Yusuf said he wants. I cannot just sell my partnership, my share to Yusuf without informing both of them. They have to know. Because initially they might not agree to be they might not agree with Yusuf to be their partner. They know something which I don't know about him. Sorry, Yusuf. Yeah. That's why they don't agree. So I cannot bring him by force to make them their partners. They agree with me because they trust me, but they might not trust him. Yeah, so I have to talk to them first. Only when they agree, then Yusuf can come and join. Otherwise, I have to give them the chance to buy my shares, pay me the money, and they continue the business alone. Yeah, that's Islam. Islam is against harming the partners in any way. You know.
Okay, sure.
What if we went for a food gathering, at let's say 5 people, and the 5th person came late, so we have no food?
The 5th person came late, so there is not a lot of food left for him. So whatever is left over, he eats. Does he pay for how much, like a less amount, less cost, or do we have to split the cost for 5?
And he also has to be equal partner to everyone. Meaning, all of us agree, right? Everyone pays 10 ringgit. Okay, I'm late. We agree to come to reach any restaurant, Mazin restaurant, for instance. Yeah. We agree to, no, I don't want to mention that somebody will say I'm advertising there. In our channel, no ad. So somebody will say that we, anyway. Mazin restaurant, for instance. But then I came late. We agreed to go there to be there at 9. By 9, everyone should be there. But then I came late. I reached there at 12. When I went there, I found just one nasi lemak, 50 cents thing left. That's the only thing that left for me. And I ate it. Does that mean they have to return 9? Wait a minute. Does that mean they have to return 9 ringgit 50 cents to me? No. Because I gave them my consent, and we did not agree that every single person has to eat 10 ringgit food. We agree that collectively we collect this money for our own benefit collectively. And he agreed. Then we pay it, the money he gave us. But then, unfortunately, he did not come. That's his problem. Yeah, that's his problem. If we want to do some kindness, is to keep something for him. Juice. Some, what is the other one? Kunafa. Yeah. At least he shares also.
If 5 people agree,
yeah.
All of us agree together. But let's say 4 people reach, 1 did not reach. Now all of these 4 people,
they are aware that their friend is not here. So isn't the blame upon them as well to finish everything? Isn't it?
It's not. Hamad, don't make life difficult. Yeah. If they want to be kind, they just send him a message. Fulan, we agreed to be here at 9. You are not here. They blame him badly first. Please come quickly. And do you mind if we start? If he is not a character, he will say, no, I don't mind. If he's a character, he will say, no, I mind. Wait for me to come. That is good. If we believe he's serious, it's good to wait for him. If not, we can just take some part of the food and keep it for him and then eat the rest. Get it? Subhanakallahum. How many questions left?
Last question.
Oh, last question, okay.
Question by Umrayan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi Sheikh. Nowadays, the hudud laws are not implemented. So what do we do with those found guilty?
Okay, this is a very good question, Umrayan. Since Umrayan is always in our class, I think we delay this question to the next class, inshallah.
Sure.
Yeah, idhillah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته